We're going to be discussing a subject that is seen by many people as insignificant. And so we're going to start off with, and I'm using some more technology today. So if y'all know that, if you know me, you know that technology and I don't cooperate. And I don't want to beat this thing to death in front of y'all and be a bad example of patience and all of that. So I just need a little prayer on that line. This morning, we're going to talk about something that is, I don't know, to you may be settled. It might be something that you don't even consider a question about. Last week we talked about what is salvation. What does it mean to say you're going to heaven? Is it for everybody or just the redeemed? This morning we're going to talk about something that I feel is secondary in importance to that. And we're going to talk about baptism. And why is baptism important? And I'm going to start off by saying this. In all the years that Lifeway has existed, nothing has been more controversial than the subject of baptism. When we first started the church, I thought the majority of controversy would be over the style of music we use. But then I found out that people that like what we do, they just keep coming back. And if they didn't like it, they'd go find somebody that played the music that they liked. But I always thought music would be the most controversial thing. But it turns out this is probably the most controversial subject. So I'm going to start off by saying this. Jesus himself was baptized. And God came down and showed his approval for that. And then later in Matthew chapter 28, and we'll look at it in a moment, but not now. I'm going to just give you a short outline here. Jesus says to his disciples right before he leaves, he said, "All authority in heaven has been given to me." And he says, "Therefore, I want you to go. I want you to make disciples, share your faith, so that people are saved, that people are redeemed. Then I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I want you to teach them everything I've commanded you to teach them. And I'm always, promise, always going to be here with you." Now, I'm going to make one thing clear. Jesus was a man of authority. Jesus never said things like, "Well, look, I've got a suggestion for you." Anybody ever seen the suggestions? Jesus didn't say, "I got a suggestion. Hey, would y'all mind considering this?" Or does Jesus say, "Hey, I'm going to throw this out there and I'd like your opinion back on it"? Jesus gave commands and he spoke with very clear commandments. And he said, "All authority is given to me," which means what? Which means there's nothing that he says that has not been given to him by the Father to say and do. He was always very straightforward. He was always very clear. And I think the reason he was so clear is he knew who he was talking to. You know, you don't talk to your oldest child the way you talk to your youngest child. You speak so that they can understand what you've got to say. And Jesus, knowing his audience, us, he spoke so clearly that there could be no misunderstanding. But our subject today, there are very different opinions about baptism, and many of you have very different experiences with baptism. But I want to show you one thing. I just want to show you what God says. What you will not hear, and basically you can ask the people that have been here for over a decade, I have never taught Baptist doctrine. Anybody ever heard me preach Baptist or say, "We believe this because we're Baptists"? Anybody ever heard me say that? We teach Bible doctrine. And when I share my opinion, it's never on doctrine. But I want to show you what the Bible says, what God says about baptism. If I had about 5 hours, I could tell you what man says about baptism. I could tell you what every religion in the world says about baptism. I could give you the history of every Christian and non-Christian denomination, what they do, how they do it, and why they do it. But here's the most important thing. It's what God said. And here's the thing. When God says something, it's a command. It's not a gentle suggestion. So then, my goal for you today is this. I need you to leave with the question in your heart, what does God say about this? And then I'm going to ask you to either obey it or soft pedal this issue and make an excuse. This is a yes or no thing, y'all. There's nothing in between. And that's why some people get their feelings hurt over this. But I want to share with you God's viewpoint, which is His Word, His commands. So if you would, look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And we're going to start looking there. And we're going to look at Jesus' baptism, because He says this, "Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan River, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him and He said this. He said, 'Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then He permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and light and lighting on Him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So let's start off by looking at the reasons why Jesus was baptized. First of all, Jesus said it was to do what? To fulfill all righteousness. Jesus came as a sinless individual, but He came to walk among sinful men, right? He came to identify with us. And how could He command us to be baptized if He didn't set the example? You know, the problem a lot of people have today is you have people in positions of leadership that are in managers or owners of businesses. And here's the deal. If you don't model what you want to see, you never see what you want to see. If you're not willing to lead by example, people will never follow because there is no example. So Jesus led by example. He came to identify with us. The third thing is, it's symbolic. Now, in the very beginning of His ministry, He's baptized. John took Him down into the water, immersed Him, and He came up out of the water. And God the Father said what? "This is my Son in whom I am what? Well pleased." He said, "I'm not okay with Him. I'm well pleased." People didn't get it then. Some didn't get it even after His death, burial, and resurrection. But what did Jesus just symbolize? His death, His burial, and His resurrection, because baptism was explained that way. And then the Spirit of God descended on Him and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." God the Father gave His approval of this. And that's at the very beginning of His ministry. This says something very significant. It says that baptism is not only very important, but it's extremely significant for the believer. So how important is baptism to you? And you say, "Well, I got saved, but I'll do it later." Or maybe when you were a baby, somebody sprinkled some water or poured a little water on your forehead. And in your mind, you've been baptized. But here's the question of the day, folks. It's like this. What does the Word of God say about baptism? What does Jesus say about baptism? Listen, if you're like me, I believe this from Genesis all the way to the maps. I don't believe there's anything in here that we don't need to know about. And I don't believe we've been misled on anything in this book. If I thought there was anything in here that didn't belong or didn't fit with what God wanted us to do, I could be in a better place than this morning. I bet the fish are biting. I bet the sunrise would have looked good sitting on the porch. And coffee would have just slowly eased into brunch this morning. Because I'm not going to follow someone who's fallible and makes mistakes. But not one word of this contradicts another. And nothing Jesus said contradicts the Father. And nothing any of the prophets in the Old Testament said contradicts what the apostles said in the New Testament. So what does the Word of God say? And this is the bottom line. This is where it gets tough. I'll be honest with you. By show of hands, how many of you have read something in the Scripture that directly comes against your heart? You're like, ooh, anybody? My hand's not up as a demonstration. My hand is up because I don't. How many of you would be honest and say this morning, there are verses in the Bible that you wish you could just edit right out, make you feel a lot better? You know what my Bible would probably look like? And I'm just the pastor, and I'm just trying to be honest this morning. It would be this Bible dedicated to, an occasion of, by. I'd probably skip right to the maps. Because a whole lot of that in between I don't like, and it comes against my flesh, and I don't really like it. But I know it's there for a reason. For the same reason you tell your children they can't eat chocolate for breakfast and play on the highway. There's things that God says for our health and our well-being and our safety. And God is so clear when He teaches. So the first thing that the Bible teaches is that baptism follows salvation. Nowhere, say it again, nowhere in the Bible do we see anyone baptized and then make a profession of salvation, to come to saving knowledge of Christ. It doesn't exist. These are not the same things. Baptism and salvation, they are not the same thing. And there's not one verse that says this. There is error that has been taught for so long that some people believe it. It's kind of like politics. Most politicians, and I don't care if it's the left wing or the right wing, because they both connected to the same bird, right? Right? They believe if they say it long enough, stupid people like you and I are just going to believe it. So it doesn't matter what has been said for 1,000 years or 2,000 years. Doesn't it matter what God said? That should be the only thing that matters, is what God said. Clearly, salvation must come before. In Ephesians chapter 2, which was our text last week, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For it is by grace that you have been saved through and not of, lest anyone should boast or brag. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but we were created as His craftsmanship unto doing good works. The very first thing is, for it is by grace through faith that you have been saved. Grace comes from God. Faith comes from God. You had to believe that God was real. You had to repent of your sins. You had to say, God, I'm sorry. And you had to believe. Grace and faith. Doesn't mention a thing about a drop of water, does it? Grace and faith. You have to have faith. God has to give it to you. You must recognize it and say, by faith I now believe. Can an infant believe by faith? A jailer, the Philippian jailer, as some of you know his story, there was a big earthquake. And if prisoners escaped back in that day and time, you paid with your life. And so when the earthquake came and all the doors came open, he thought all the prisoners had escaped. He's about to run a sword through him. Paul and Silas say, stop, don't do it. Everybody's still here. And he'd heard the preaching of Paul and Silas before they'd been thrown into the prison. And he asked the question. Who knows the question? Anybody know it? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What did Paul and Silas tell him? Anybody know? Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved and your entire house. Now let's pick that apart very quickly. He said, if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the one and only, you can be saved. And if your family believes that they'll be saved, it doesn't say that if daddy believes, the whole family got to heaven. There's a false belief out there right now that if mom and dad are parents, the kids are naturally going to be. I tell you what, I know some of you as parents and your kids are nothing like you. Do I need to explain? No, because you live with those monsters. You know that they're not like you. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. Can an infant believe in that? Is baptism have anything? Have we seen the word baptism in any of these examples? Salvation is completely separate than baptism, and there is no example of an infant being baptized. There's no example of anyone being baptized before they made a profession of faith, before they repented and believed. So who should be baptized? Should it be only people that come to church? Should it only be good people? Well, therefore, none of us would be, right? Should it only be adults? Should we be doing kids? should we be doing infants? For those of you who were sprinkled or had something poured on you, first let me say this to you. Thank God you had parents that loved you enough to want to do something for you. Thank God that you had parents that thought enough, because what their goal was is they wanted to see you go to heaven. And you need to thank God that you had parents like that. You had parents that wanted to give you to God, and so that if anything happened to you, you'd be protected. But here's the thing, there is not one scripture that gives evidence that being baptized equates salvation. Not one verse. If so, would Paul have told the Philippian jailer? What must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? Go find you some water and let's get this done. What did he say? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. What did Paul say again in Ephesians chapter 2? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not water, not baptism. If baptism was any part of salvation, and God desires for everyone to be saved, and Jesus died on the cross so everyone would have the opportunity to be saved, wouldn't Jesus have preached it from the rooftops? But he preached faith and repentance. Repentance and faith. John the Baptist came on the scene and he said, repent and believe, repent and believe. Jesus came on the scene and said what? Repent and believe. Repent means change your mind, change your heart, believe by faith. Not a word. Now the word baptize the Greek word for baptize is baptizio or baptizii, depending if you're from the south or you're from the north with that Greek translation. You know, in the south we say everything a little different. Ain't that right? See, that would be, I had a professor in seminary that if he listens online to this, he's going to call and say, I taught you better. And I'll just text him back and say, I done did learn better, but I fell back into some old errant ways. The word baptizio or baptizii, this is how it was defined in the Bible. Okay? Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. It matters not how the dictionary today defines baptism. It does not matter how any denomination defines baptism. It should only matter that when Jesus or the apostles or the disciples used that word, it should only matter how they defined it. Would you agree with that? I'm just going to ask you to go with me a little, one step at a time here. Then we need to see how Jesus used it. When Jesus used that word, the word baptizii or baptizio is defined as this. That's how they would describe a ship that was sunk. That's how they would describe someone that was sunk in the mud. That's how they would describe someone that was completely immersed in water. There is a word for sprinkle in Greek. It's randizii. Okay, for all you non-scholars, is there a huge difference between baptizio and randizii? Isn't that as different as salt and pepper? So let me ask you this. It's a picture of how Jesus died and he buried and he was rose again. Does sprinkling convey death, burial, and resurrection? Let me ask you something. When you go to the cemetery, do you sprinkle dirt on a dead person? Or do you put them underneath the ground and cover them with dirt? Which one is it? We bury dead people. We don't sprinkle dirt on them. We bury them. How did this all start? About 300 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, people started saying, hey, some people made professions of faith. Some people got saved. They accepted the Lord late in life. Some of them were so sick they couldn't get them down to a river or a lake and put them underwater. So they started something that's not biblical, but they started something called clinical baptism. Is there anybody here that's ever heard that word before? Clinical baptism. So they say, you can't get to the water, so we'll just put a little bit on you. Soon after that, they said, hey, wait a minute. Babies need to get it too, because if they don't, they'll die and go to hell. There is a popular belief that if a baby isn't baptized, they die and go to hell. But the Bible says until you realize you are a sinner, God does not hold that sin against you. You are a sinner. But when you come to the time in your life where you can recognize what sin is and who Jesus is, only then are you held accountable. And there are those that don't even have the mental capacity to comprehend that. They are going to heaven. Nowhere does it say this. So they began to teach, your baptism was your salvation. You notice this didn't happen until about 300 years till after Jesus was already ascended into heaven. And that doesn't mean everybody believed in it, but there were some that did. And this has been taught for hundreds, if not 1,000 years. But here's the thing. If Jesus commanded it, and you refuse to obey it, that can only mean one thing. If God commands you to do something and you don't do it, what do you call that? What do you call it? Say it again. Sin, that's rebellion, isn't it? That's just outright rebellion. You say, well, maybe, you know what, I'm really okay with my sprinkling. Well, that doesn't mean God is. I got saved, but yet were you baptized after you were saved or before? Well, I got sprinkled or poured on as a kid, but then later I became a follower of Jesus Christ. That's great. The first thing he wanted you to do, Matthew 28:18, was what? Become a disciple. Second thing he commands us to do is what? To be what? To be baptized. The third thing is what? To learn everything that he has commanded us, right? So you're willing to do the first thing, and you say, God, I'm on your team. I got the shirt, the bumper sticker, the t-shirt, and the bracelet. I'm on team God. He says, wait a minute. You're willing to do the first thing, but you're not willing to do the second. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say you own a business, and you hire somebody, and you say, here are the five things I want you to do. Any business owners in the room? Any managers in the room? And you say, this is what I want you to do. And the person comes in the next day. And you said, be here at 8. But they showed up at 9:30 and say, hey, look, 8's a little early. But I'm on your team, bro. And I kind of like what you say, but I got my own ideas about how to get this done. So you just trust me and I'll do what I think is best. But I'm on your team, boss. I'm on your team. Let me ask you, if you're the owner, what do you do with that person? Say it louder. Are they really on your team? Only until HR gets them the paperwork. I'm not saying that God revokes your salvation. Hear me again. I'm not saying that God revokes your salvation. You say, well, wait a minute. If I've been saved, but I don't get baptized, are you saying I can't go to heaven? Absolutely not. Listen clearly. Listen clearly. If you have repented of your sin, God, I'm sorry, and I recognize myself as a sinner is what you call me. And I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the rescuer. And I believe that he came, lived a sinless life. He died on the cross to pay for all of our sins. And then after 3 days, he came back up out of that grave, and now he's in heaven preparing a place for me to come to. God, I believe that as best I know how. I believe it. I ask him to move into my heart. Folks, if you've done that and you've said something like that, you're going to heaven whether you're baptized or not. Let me ask you something. Do you want to live your entire life in rebellion though? Because that's what you're doing. God, I'll do the first thing you want me to do, but I won't do the second. Now, why would somebody not want to be baptized? Now, I'll tell you what's been told to me in the many years at Lifeway here. Because, you know, let's be realistic. We live in a town where the majority of the churches that some of you came from, they don't teach immersion. Listen, Glenn, I know what the Bible says, but listen. With the church I grew up in, baptism was just for babies, and I would be so embarrassed to get up here and get in some water because the way I grew up, that was only for babies, and I'm a grown man. That's what I was told once. It would be so embarrassing. Listen, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. The Apostle Paul said, don't be ashamed. Live your faith out there in front of everyone. Let me ask you a question. If you're not willing to publicly demonstrate your faith, why wouldn't you do that? Is there someone that you're too embarrassed to acknowledge in front of them that you are a Christian? If you went to work tomorrow and said, I just want you to know I'm a card-carrying Jesus freak. I'm a child of God. Would anybody freak out and go, you're a what? No, you're not. Is it possible your lifestyle is not demonstrating that of a child of God, and that's why you don't want to acknowledge him? Because when you acknowledge him through baptism, you're making a statement. So here I want to share with you some reasons to be baptized. Let's look at Matthew 28. Let's put it on the screen. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And I just want to show you some reasons to be baptized, okay? Starting off in Matthew 28, starting with verse 18. And Jesus, 28, 18. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them. Now he's speaking to his disciples. And he says this, and all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, if Jesus says all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, what is he saying to his disciples? What's he saying? Huh? I'm the man. Anybody here a manager or something, and the boss tells you to do something, he says, go tell your people to do this. You walk up and say, I have it from the highest authority. This is what is to be done. What are you really saying? I have been tasked to accomplish something, and I have been given the authority to do that. Jesus says, all authority. How much of authority? I'm being given all authority in heaven and on earth to accomplish the will of my Father. Now follow with me in verse 18. I'm just going to read it for you. Verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I am with you always. I'll tell you the first thing, the first reason to be baptized is this. And this is all it really needs, really. It's commanded by Jesus. Let me ask you something. What more do you need than just that? But I'm going to give you some more, though. If you're a parent, you identify with this. Hey, I said, pick up your toys and go get in the bathtub. Why? And what do you say? Come on, parents. Because I said so. No, there's some of you new age parents that get down on your knees and say, little Johnny, I learned in my psychology class that I need to fully explain everything so you can accept it and you can feel good about it. And so therefore, you know, there's a schedule and it's getting dark. And so you need your sleep. So therefore you need to get, because I said so. Why? Because I said so. But why do you say so? Because I am now taking off my belt, getting the wooden spoon, getting the plastic spatula. I'm about to show you the love of Jesus. That's why. Because I said so. What is the best reason to be baptized? Because Jesus said so. Aren't we glad he didn't stop there, but he did. He was willing to explain it. Because, you know, there's some hard-headed Jesus kids in this room. But why? Let me tell you this. It's a public confession of your faith. The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. Well, let me tell you something. And I'm going to say this with as much love as I can. I know this is hard. Some folks are just spiritual cowards. You're afraid to do it. Look, man, I don't want to get up there in front of everybody. It's embarrassing. Are you embarrassed to be called a child of God? Who is it in your life that you don't want to know you're a Christian? Maybe we need to do a little counseling about that. You know, because if you got baptized and you told everybody, hey, What I'm doing right now symbolizes the death of the old me and the rising of newness of life. Maybe there's somebody that could see that, or you could tell them, and you know what it would do? It just might change their life. I know a lot of people that Jesus got their attention by watching someone else get baptized. You know, one of the first ways you can share your faith is by demonstrating your faith in baptism. The second thing is this: it is a portrayal of what happened to you at salvation. What you're saying is, I'm saved. You're saying, I choose God. I've turned away from my old ways and I've chosen the new birth. I've chosen something else. It is a portrayal of Christ, what he did and what you have done. Now, some people say, well, back to that sprinkling thing, Glenn, because I'm still a little caught up on that. I was told it really doesn't matter. You know, I had a priest, rabbi, teacher, pastor, spiritual guru tell me that it really doesn't matter. We're going to go with what the Bible says or what someone else says. If you look up the word baptism today, you can see it defined in so many different ways. Is it what God says or is it what somebody else said? When you stand before God, the scriptures tell us that you will be judged by the things written in your denomination's handbook, your pastor's ideas and opinions. What does the Bible say? You will be judged by the things written in this book. Now, I had a problem when I was a student in school. I used to be embarrassed to admit this, but not any longer. I'm not saying it's a badge of courage either, but I was on the 5-year plan in high school. Most of you didn't get to have 2 senior years. I did. Took me 5 years to get out of high school. Let it sink in. But you know what I noticed the last year when I finally decided to graduate? You know, most of the answers on every test was found written in a book. If I just looked at the book, I could find the answers. Do y'all know that the clouds parted and the world changed when I thought, wait a minute, those things that are piled up in my locker, if I open them and read what he tells me to read, I'm going to pass the test. I want you to know something. When you stand before God, he will not judge you based on what the Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, Jehovah's Witness, Church of Christ, Lutherans, Catholics teach. He will judge you based on what's in his word. What's in his word? Somebody says, oh, you're trying to convince me to get baptized like a Baptist. No, 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 no. No. Too many Baptists in this room right now. You know them. You can feel it when you sit next to a Baptist. They are so self-righteous, they sit up so straight, but Monday through Saturday they walk so crooked. Do as I say, don't look at me. I'm busy judging you, don't look at me. Now, Glenn, why do you pick on Baptists? Because I've hung out with them almost my whole life. And that doesn't mean there's not hypocrites in every denomination or religion. You identify with the body of Christ. You identify, number 3, with the body of Christ. You are saying, I am a brother, you are my sister, Jesus is our Savior, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know that when you repent and trust Jesus as your Savior, did y'all know that your name is written down in a book in heaven? Did y'all know that? How many of you knew that? Your name is written down in a book. Do you remember back, I got to hurry y'all, but you remember back in the old days when you go to a hotel, they didn't have a computer, they had a big what? A big book, a big ledger. And when you came in to stay, you would sign your name in the book. There is a book, not an iPad in heaven. There is a book. And the moment you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the book with permanent ink. There are no erasers in heaven. And when you get there, your name will be checked against the book. And the Bible says, then you will be judged by how you live this out. And you'll receive your rewards based on it. Tell me, how many rewards can you really expect to receive if you were obedient on the very first thing he told you to do, which was repent and believe, but you refused to follow him on the second? God, I'm going to skip 2, but I'm going to do 3 through 20. What if you told your child, I want you to pick up your toys and go get in the bathtub? Mom, I've given this a lot of thought. I've talked it over with my friends. Oprah even said, I shouldn't have to pick up my toys. It ruins me. And I'm only going to take a bath when I feel like it. Aren't you glad God's got more patience than you? Aren't you? Because Oprah and Dr. Phil and your psychology professor won't stand there with you next to God. This will be opened. And he will say, why didn't you do this? Why weren't you obedient to this? Number four, it drives a stake down and it clearly says, you say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of this. I will never forget this. It has totally changed my life. I have been saved by grace. Baptism is now my calling card. It's my coming out. Actually, when you get in our baptistry that we normally set for our guest, I keep walking over here and y'all think, what's he doing? This is where we put the thing where we dunk people at. All right? So I'm not as crazy as you think I am. When you get in there and you're immersed and you're brought back up, what you're saying is the old me is what? Dead. And rising up is what? The new me. And I need y'all to know it. And I need you to pray for me. Don't we need to pray for each other? Man, I tell you what. If Christians spent more time praying for each other than kicking each other, I think we could get a lot more done. If churches quit kicking each other, they could get a lot more done. It's been said Christians are the only army that kill their wounded. Man, if everybody here that messed up wasn't allowed to be here, do y'all know I'd be in here by myself right now? See, now, there you go. See, now I'm not allowed in here because I just told a lying church. Number five, it affirms you believe your belief in Jesus and the promise of a bodily resurrection. Listen, immersion symbolizes a death, burial, and a resurrection. Remember Jesus said, permit it to be so? It had to be done because he was going to what? He was going to die on the cross to pay for our sins. He was going to be buried, and then he was going to what? Easter Sunday. He was going to rise to newness in life. What you're saying is, I identify with my Savior. Just as he died and rose again, I have been forgiven, and therefore the old me is dead and the new me is alive. It identifies you with Christ. Can sprinkling do that? It can't. And these are extremely hard words for some of you right now. And right now, you probably got a list of questions for me that I would love to hang out and answer for you. Because I just want you to do what the Bible says. If I had it my way, all you got to do is walk in the church and you go to heaven. Man, we could sit around and have Snicker bars, popcorn, and cotton candy. There's at least four different food groups represented right there, parents. It affirms you believe in Christ. It symbolizes you believe in the bodily resurrection. So the question I have for you this morning is this. Have you been scripturally baptized? Have you been baptized the way the Bible says? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from it? Folks, this is a yes or no question. And it can be a hard one. I have counseled people for 15 years. One man told me, he said, Glenn, man, my mother is in a nursing home. And she's dyed in the wool, Denomination X. And if she found out I did this, it would kill her. My family would hate me. He thought about it and he thought about it and he dealt with it and he prayed about it and finally said, look, I'm just going to do it because I know it's the right thing to do. I said, well, look, you're 67 years old. It's about time you make decisions on what you think God wants you to do, not what your mother wants you to do. I'm just going to give you for quickly here. I want to ask you a question. When we put him in that tank right here, can you guess who with her walker was standing right there? Guess who it was? His mama. And you know what she did? She cried and said, thank God. Thank God that you're in church. Thank God that you're following the Lord. Y'all, she didn't die. She was okay. Some people say this, it'll kill my parents. I'm going against everything my parents stood for. No, you're not. God's going to judge you, not your parents. And thank God you had parents that wanted to do something for you. And they were doing the very best they could with the information that they had. Hopefully, I've started you on a journey this morning and you realize that in the Word of God, it was immersion by which Jesus was baptized. And many denominations today that sprinkled didn't sprinkle in the beginning. They immersed and later they changed. Said, well, it really doesn't matter. I've heard people say, well, my pastor told me it really doesn't matter. just as long as I do it. Oh, really? It doesn't matter how we do it? Then for the Lord's Supper, why don't we do McDonald's and fries? I mean, it doesn't matter. It's no big deal. I mean, why don't we just use chicken fried steak and a big old homemade buttermilk biscuit? It doesn't matter how we do it. Yes, it matters. Every word in the Bible matters. And if Jesus said, do it this way, you do it that way. Jesus gave us commandments, not suggestions. And he clearly taught us this. So the question is this, yes or no, have you been baptized the way the Bible says? Romans 10, 9 through 10, look at this with me. If that you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Listen, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confession, resulting in salvation. You can't do this as a baby. You can't do this as an unknowing child. You have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he is the Messiah. An infant cannot believe that. It's a yes or no question as we close. Have you done this? Have you followed? Have you been obedient? It's yes or no. It's not yes or, well, I kind of, listen, if it's not a yes, I'm going to be blunt and honest so that I can finish. You're making an excuse to be rebellious. That's all there is to it. Based on the short teaching I've given you today, and if you bring a sack lunch, I could talk to you about this for 8 hours. And give you every single example and show you every single thing. But if Jesus commanded it, that alone should be enough. But I gave you five more.